Hi, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the Hiltran United Weekly Message and Podcast. I'm glad you're making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end, but for now, let's dive right in.
Please rise for this gospel reading from John 1:1-18 of the Common English Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word. And without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life. And the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. A man named John was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him everyone would believe in the light. He himself wasn't the light, but his mission was to testify concerning the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light, and the world didn't recognize the light. The light came to his own people, and his own people didn't welcome him. But those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children, born not from blood, nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified about him, crying out, "This is the one whom I said, 'He who comes after me is greater than me, because he existed before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. As the law was given through Moses, so grace and truth came into being through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at his Father's side, has made God known. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of Scripture. Amen." You may be seated.
The Old Testament is full of stories. Fascinating, true stories that capture the imagination. Brutal stories of war, revenge, and violence. Tragic stories of betrayal. And endless stories of God's power, his love, and his faithfulness. And every story points to a promise. A Savior is coming. Things will be put right. Don't give up. God gave Isaiah a glimpse of what to wait for. A people walking in darkness see a great light. The war is over. The victory celebration begins. How? A child is born. A son is given. A leader will finally bring peace and justice forever. And so the waiting began.
Well, hey, everybody. Pastor Harold here. If you're listening online, if you're watching online, welcome. If you're listening on demand, welcome. We are glad you are with us. Today is the first week of Advent, the first day of Advent. But first, I wanted to say happy Thanksgiving. I hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I know we did. We had a pretty good feast. Mainly Susie did all the other stuff, but I cooked some turkeys, and we cooked two of them in the oven, and I smoked another one with some apple smoke, and it turned out really, really good. They were all really, really good, so we're grateful for that. And then the daughter, Sarah, brought in a photographer, And so we had a professional photographer running around the property yesterday, shooting pictures of our family. So that was pretty cool. We had a good time with that. So we ate a lot of good food. And it's a funny thing about Thanksgiving is you start out with your shirt tucked in, looking real nice. Everybody's great. And by the end of the evening, your shirt's untucked, your belt's loosened, and eventually you unbutton your pants because it won't fit anymore, right? I mean, it's just kind of how the night goes. But it was a great time. So I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I know we did. And that little whine you hear in the background, that's baby Anna. And she's into the music, but not so much the sermon this morning. But anyway, we're grateful. Again, we're starting our four-week Advent series called The Unforgettable Christmas, as you can see on the screen. And, you know, the big idea of this series is sometimes it isn't easy to enjoy Christmas, right? When we're too busy to stop and savor the holiday, we just go through the motions. We're buying presents. We're doing this. We're doing that. This party, that party, etc. And it's easy just to miss out on what Christmas is really about. For most of us, I think Christmas feels shorter and shorter every year as time goes on. This sermon series takes us back to the foundation of the Christmas story, revealing the joy and the celebration it brings all of us who put our faith in Jesus, who claim to live a Jesus-centered life. And that is the title of our message today, is a Jesus-centered Christmas. What is it to have an unforgettable Christmas? What is it? What does it take for that to happen? To make Jesus the center of our life, even when times are tough. And we know even when times are tough that God is in the middle of that, that God never will leave us, never forsake us, and that's something we can hang on with. God is with us, He dwells deep inside us, and most importantly, God is for us. So that's all the good news that comes from an unforgettable Christmas, but it's easy to lose sight of all that. Pam read for us the scripture, the Gospel of John, John chapter 1 verse 1 through 18. And really the theme of this today is the incarnation, but it's also the Word of God. I mean, the Word became flesh. That's what we're talking about today. That's what we're going to unpack. And the big idea of this particular message is that Christmas is an abstract holiday or an idea sometimes. That Jesus came into the world as a human being. And it's hard to swallow that, to reconcile us to God. But that's why He came. That's why Jesus came, to reconcile us back to God, to help us have a relationship with God, a true relationship, so we can rejoice because the nativity story makes salvation possible, not just in the afterlife, but salvation is a past, present, and future experience. And so we're a part of that this salvation process as we go. The opening of the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John, makes profound statements about the person of Jesus. And so this connection between Genesis and the book of John is really important. Really, really important. Like Genesis, the Gospel of John begins ready to trip us up with some words and language. John's Gospel matches its beginning to Genesis, and it does so in great detail. So we're accustomed to saying in the beginning, but here's the reality, that word "the" is not even a part of that, and we'll get into that in the middle. Like Genesis, the same with John 1:1, there is no "the" in the opening phrase. It literally reads, if you read it from the Greek, in beginning. There is no "the." It just is. And it's really important, I think, to understand it. And if that's the case, if Jesus, and this is the argument I think the author of the Gospel of John's making, I think it's what the New Testament tells us, is that Jesus, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is God, the whole experience is God. And so Jesus is God, and Jesus has been there from the beginning. If that's true, which I believe it is, then we're probably celebrating the wrong birthday. We probably don't even know what the real birthday is, you know, when it comes down to it. So it's something to think about. But what this points to is not a grammatical, nerdy, complex thing, but a theological claim John is making, namely, and again, that Jesus is God, was God, is God all along, always has been. So when we confess, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord, we are confessing, friends, that Jesus is God. And I think as a Christian, it's really important to understand that. When we make this statement that, you know, our purpose statement, that we're people helping people experience a Jesus-centered life, well, what does that mean? It means a God-centered life. It means one with God. God in them, and they are in God. And so it's really important to get that. And when you're living a broken life, when you come broken and finite and you're fatally flawed, sometimes it's hard to imagine that God dwells inside you, that God is deep down inside you. It's hard sometimes when you have a lot of turmoil going on between your ears that that's even possible. But that's the truth, that God exists inside us. And because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the opportunity to be Christ in Christmas through Christ living his life through us. And that's really the Christmas message in a big time way. John 1:18 is a full of creedal elements from the Logos language. You use this word Logos that speaks more light and new light into the creation, to the promise of the fullness of Christ. That in the beginning, you know, the light of the world, the light of Christ, that you are to carry your light into the dark places in this world and let your light shine. That is the Christmas message. That God's will is known to us, which is that through faith, and we talk about this through Romans, through exercising our faith and our repentance, we are given the power to become children of God. To John the Baptist's confession, as we read this morning, that Jesus is the Christ. And so, really important, I think, to understand that as we go into this sermon series on the Unforgettable Christmas, who we're talking about, because that's one of the questions in your handout, in your bulletin, reflection questions. So, we're going to look at three main points in this morning's message, to help keep the true meaning of the gospel and to keep the true meaning of Christmas in mind. Some of you have braved shopping on Black Friday. And if so, God bless you. I'm not one of those people, but some people get up 3 o'clock and they're out there ready to pound the doors. Now, I don't know if people do that as much anymore with the invention of the internet, Amazon, and all the Black Friday specials that are on, that we find on online. But it's out there, and I know there's people that go out and they give a lot to it in that process. But one thing is for sure, none of us can ignore the commercialization and the profiteering that takes place on our Savior's birthday, on what we call the birthday of Christ. We can't ignore it. It's everywhere. I mean, and it starts before they even put away the Halloween decorations. They're already after you for your money and talk about Black Friday and all that good stuff. And as a result, it's easy to become judgmental of corporations, of small business, and of individuals, and even the government for sensationalizing Christmas for a profit, and moving more and more Christmas away from its true meaning. And it's easy to get resentful, but I think it gives us a real Jesus teaching moment when we do that, because, you know, we reflect back on what Jesus said, that why are you so worried about the speck in your brother's eye when you got a telephone pole sticking out of your own? And I think if we're honest, if we're looking at it from a Jesus-centered perspective and examine how we treat Jesus during the holidays, it's essential to really inventory that and look at it. How much of him and his love for others do we include in our schedules? So think about your schedule, really from Halloween through New Year. And be honest with yourself. Today starts Advent season leading up to Christmas. How many activities in your calendar are Jesus-centered versus worldly-centered? Jesus calls us to live a kingdom, Jesus-centered life versus a life in the world system. We are to be in the kingdom and visit the world, not live in the world and visit the kingdom. And most of us come from that side. We come from living in the world and we visit the kingdom on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, on Sunday through Advent. But all the other hours in the week, the 166 hours a week, how much of that is really Jesus-centered, Jesus-focused? That's really the Christmas message. We shouldn't regulate Christ as simply our speech and holiday announcements and Christmas cards. We have to take the mission of Jesus into everything we do, in every aspect of our lives. He came in the flesh to redeem the world. We can be a part of that cause today. That's it. It's not some crazy pitch like we saw in the video, you know, out there trying to shame people into coming to church or to follow Jesus, but to do it in a way that we demonstrate love in their life. Big time. We are called to be a part of the cause. We are called to create a Jesus-centered Christmas for everyone in our path, starting inside our own family, inside our own homes. The best Christmas ever is the Christmas that never ends. And so we don't want Christmas to end, this love, this passion, this zeal, this hope, this joy, this peace, this faith, this love that we have for Christmas and Advent, that should be going on all year round, not just in this time of Christmas. And we never want to lose focus of the Word that became flesh and walked shoulder to shoulder with humanity. This is really where we get to. One of the reflection questions in your bulletin this morning asks this question: why did God come to earth in the first place? If you were asked that question, somebody set you down, why did Jesus come? How would you answer that? When we focus on this answer to this question, we learn to embrace, I think, the true meaning of Christmas. And it's not just a past tense thing. It's not just when we die, we're going to go be with Jesus. Jesus came into the world to save us from ourselves, from our extreme self-centeredness, our self-focus, our self-interest, self. God helped us, gives us a way out of that by accepting God's redemption. He in turn asks us to give up our life for other people. This is the ultimate shift. Are we willing to die to ourselves and really commit to living a Jesus-centered life? Am I willing to fill my calendar up with other-centered activities versus my deal, whatever my deal happens to be? This is the real challenge. We have Sam and Danielle with us today. And got to spend weekend with them, and it's been a joy. We've had a blast, you know, and all the challenges of having family and them traveling and all that. But despite all that, it's been great. And we welcome in baby Anna, and we got the new one in the oven, as they would say, baby Atlas. Be here sometime in January or February. And we're excited about that time. But when you think about dying to self, their story is a classic example of what we're talking about. I mean, it's an absolute classic example of being willing to just be in the world system, something you weren't expecting, and then two lives are brought into your life. And you're asked an ultimate question. Are you willing to give up your quest, your goals, your ambitions, your dreams, to stop and hit pause and welcome these two lives into your life? And they were willing to do that without even thinking twice about it. And this morning we sit here with Damian and Jane as part of our family. And it's awesome and it's beautiful. But it's a perfect example of what it means to give up your life for somebody else. Because it's like, come in, be a part of our family, not for 2 weeks, not for a month, but forever. You're a part of us. It's a powerful example of what it means to die, to live another centered life. And it's beautiful to, one, be a part of it, but two, to sit back and just watch it unfold and watch how beautiful. Not only that, but just watch how the action, the verb of love into somebody's life, how that changes a life and how it's changed these two in 18 months is beyond comprehension. Can't even begin to tell you how much it's changed their life and how many people have been blessed for it. So it's a great example of what we're talking about, to live a Jesus-centered life this morning. Sandra McCracken, Christian artist, maybe not well known by some of you. She has an album that came out some years back titled Live Under Lights and Wires. And she wrote a song called Age to Age that's on that soundtrack. And she shares a story in the lyrics. She shares a story of two young boys from Missouri that were in Missouri. And they spent their summers playing by some sandbag levees that held back some of the extreme flooding that would take place, you know, that took place over the past decade for the Mississippi, the mighty Mississippi. And we're all Missouri, even in this area, we're well known with what the floods can do. Tragically, there were two boys that found themselves in some kind of quicksand resulting in a breach in the levee. So this water was, the sandbags were holding back the levee. Somewhere it broke through and it got into the surface and created basically quicksand. And these two young boys found themselves stuck in that quicksand. And by the grace of God, somebody was able to get to them. And when they come to there, they found one of the boys standing in the sand. He's just standing there in the sand. And they asked him this question. One of the rescuers asked him this question: where is your brother at? He says, I'm standing on his shoulders. And his brother just gave up his life, basically submerged below the sand. So this kid could stand on his shoulders and survive until somebody could come and rescue him. He gave up his life. It's a true story. That is the demonstration of what we're talking about. This is what God did for us. He gave up his only son. He sacrificed his only son. So when you and I, not just for eternity, but here on earth, can have a chance to have a taste of salvation, to what it means to live in the grace and mercy and forgiveness of God. despite our imperfections, despite our warts, our pimples, our hurts, our habits, our hang-ups, all the junk we got going on, every one of us, there's no blue ribbons hanging off anybody here. Despite all that, we're seen 100% adopted into God's family as one of his kids. And he loves us just as much as we love these kids here this morning. Exactly the same. Let that resonate with you. I hope that's the way you feel about God. I hope that's the relationship you have with God. That there's nothing preventing you from going to prayer, to meditation, to having a conversation, to a Bible study, or any of that because of the shortcomings in your life. But you can go there and just experience the grace of God. That's what an unforgettable Christmas is about. That's what we're called to be. Just as that young boy needed saving, we needed saving. And so here's some lyrics from that song, and I want you to pay attention to these lyrics. And here they are on the screen. This is part of the chorus of that song, Age After Age. Here it is. Listen to these lyrics. Age after age, of all the heroes and the soldiers, so why am I so slow to change when I'm standing on their shoulders? So inventory, but why am I so slow to change? Jesus came, gave us God's will. Here's how I want you to live your life. Why am I so slow to want to embrace that way of life? And this is this dying to self that all of us have to go through, this process. Age after age, of all the heroes and soldiers, God, give me sight and make me brave as I'm standing on their shoulders. And all of us here are standing on the shoulders of giants. You've had people that came before. You have people that are here presently. People from the past. People you don't even know. You never knew personally. But their stories, their walk, their talk, how they live their life has influenced your life. I have countless people like that. I can sit here and name them all. And you're a giant to somebody else in your life if you're living a Jesus-centered life. People are standing on your shoulders for the future of what their life's going to look like. And they're going to point back to you and say, that guy, that lady, that woman, that man made a huge difference in how my life turned out. We all have those people. But that's what we're called to do, is to live that kind of life spiritually. And none of us will do it perfectly, by no stretch of the imagination. But it's powerful, and it's an unforgettable Christmas. Listen to what C.S. Lewis says about it. The eternal being who knows everything and who created the whole universe. Just listen to that statement. The eternal being who knows everything and who created the whole universe became not only a man, but a baby, and before that, a fetus in a woman's body. This is how Jesus came into the world. This is how God chose to come into the world to manifest God's own self to us so we could identify, so we could relate, so we could, you know, feel that and experience that. Listen to this statement here by Craig Limbrow. Jesus is the wonder of Christmas, that in the solitary form of an impoverished infant, listen to this, God has handed me everything I could never create, so that I could be everything I could never be. End quote. I mean, that's powerful. So that I can be everything I could never be. That's what living a Jesus-centered life allows us to be, become, is the best version of you and me possible. And even the best version of us has many imperfections. But because of Christ, because of Christmas, because of a Spirit-centered life, we have a chance to live that. None of us do it perfectly, but it's what we're called to do. The self-centered nature of our spirituality can make Christmas all about us instead of Christ. Even though we have Christmas trees, even though we may have an Advent wreath sitting at home at our kitchen table, even though we're playing Joy FM or 102.5 all day long, Christmas songs, all that stuff, it can still just be all about us. We can definitely have self-centered spirituality if we're not careful. If we're committed to living Jesus-centered lives, to having a Jesus-centered Christmas, our Christmas should be focused on everyone but ourselves, really. Want to keep Christ in Christmas? Feed the hungry. Want to keep Christ in Christmas? Clothe the naked. Forgive the guilty. Welcome the unwanted. Care for the ill. Love your enemies. And do unto others as you would have them undo unto you. That is what it means to live a Jesus-centered life. Are you doing that? Not just for 30 days during December. But day after day, week after week, month after month. The word made, which we read today in the scripture, is pronounced, the Greek word for it, agenita. That's how it's pronounced, agenita. And it means to become rather than be constructed. That when God breathes life into you, you become something. You're not piecemeal, you become something instantly. That he breathed, he spoke creation into existence. So this action of agenita refers to an event rather than a process. And with all of its complexity, the visible universe owes its origin to God's creative mind and power. Apart from his word, existence is impossible. And the priority of Christ over creation is taught here. And it's mentioned in Colossians 1:16 and also Hebrews 1:2, which we'll look at in a second. But without God, life is impossible. Creation is impossible. Without you are impossible. If the breath of life is not filled into your lungs, into your brain, into your life, you're never going to come alive. And the day that the breath of life leaves you, it's over with, at least from a physical standpoint. Spiritually, a whole different story. But nothing happens without God's say-so. Nothing happens in this world or comes into existence without God's fingerprints all over it, without him breathing into it. And so we need to think about that when we're thinking about Christmas, that we're celebrating the Savior of the world, which is God himself, who came into the world not to just walk with us, but to be inside us, to live inside us. And it's powerful when you think about it. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what an unforgettable Christmas means, fully. And scripture after scripture validates that Jesus is God. And we never want to lose sight of that. Here it is, Colossians 1:16. Because all things were created by him, both in the heavens and on earth, the things that are visible and the things that are invisible. Whether they are thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and from him. And then here you go. Here's Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. In these final days, though he spoke to us through a son, God made his son the heir of everything and created the world through him. So I hope you hear that today, wherever you are on your theology, when it comes to who is Jesus? What's this Jesus all about? Who is Jesus the Christ? And this Christmas that we celebrate every year, is it really about that, or is it about toys and Christmas carols and eggnog and mistletoes? What is it really about for you in your life? This is what an unforgettable Christmas looks like. Here's the truth, friends. Jesus could be born again and again and again and again in Bethlehem. But if Jesus is never born inside you, it's all for nothing. If you really want to personalize it, the whole nativity story could happen again and repetition again, just like watching a DVD over and over and over again. But if it never materializes inside you, it's all for nothing. And the million-dollar question is, you have a chance to say yes to the nativity story in your life, or you can say no. The good news is God's already said yes. The million-dollar question we always have to answer is, will we say yes to this experience? And as Jesus-centered people, our job is to invite people to have this experience. Not just invite them, but do more than that. Walk with them however God would see fit in their life. Jesus came to reveal God's true nature, to defeat death and remove the power of sin in our lives, so God's Spirit could come alive through spiritual adoption. Just as Sam and Danielle passed that along to their kids, and Susie's mom passed it along to her and her brother, God passes it along to us, this spiritual process of adoption, being adopted into God's family, and we owe that to Jesus. Amen? We owe it to Jesus, that we're a part of God's family. We can make the unforgettable Christmas a reality for countless people in our circles by dying to our own self-interest and loving the people enough that they know Jesus is real. I hope you hear that. That you love the people in your life deep enough, long enough, rich enough, authentic enough that they know that Jesus is real. How exciting is it to know that the Word that became flesh dwells inside you and desires nothing more that a lie through you. Christmas should happen daily for everyone. And it happened through us as we become children of the one true King. Amen? So if we want to have an unforgettable Christmas, help other people have an unforgettable Christmas. That's what it's all about. So with that, I'm going to invite you all to stand. I'm going to invite the band back up. We're going to pray as we go out today. And we really try to take on this commitment to live Jesus-centered lives, to live a life of love and service to all God's creation, not just people, but all creation. It's a huge responsibility each and every one of us have. That's our calling this season, is to help people have an unforgettable Christmas. And the cool part is the Holy Spirit dwells in us and can make that happen. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this message today. We thank you for family and friends that we had to gather with over this holiday season. We thank you for the little people that are with us this morning that show us the circle of life continues and that there's a huge responsibility to breathe your spirit into these children, to love them, to walk with them, and help them become like you in every aspect, mainly by our demonstration, more than just stories. So we pray we can do that. Lord, we just want to have an unforgettable Christmas in 2022. And to do that, we know we have to die to ourselves and help other people experience you, maybe for the first time. So Lord, that's what we're praying for, the willingness and the humility and the open-mindedness to be able to do just that, to be a maximum service to you and the people about us. We pray this boldly, and we pray in your Son's name. And all God's people said, amen. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope that we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know a little bit more about us, we are Hill-Tran United. Hill-Tran United is an alliance between Hillsboro United Methodist Church and Transformation United Methodist Church. We are kingdom churches and kingdom communities for people who aren't into church. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at Hillsboro United Methodist Church and 11 a.m. at Transformation United Methodist Church. Both churches are located in the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains, located in Jefferson County, Missouri. We also meet during the week in smaller groups that we call life groups and home churches, and that's how we make it relational. We hear regularly from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are at. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, and YouTube, or you can download our app from your favorite app store. Just search for the app titled Our Church by Church Dev and enter in Hill-Tran United, and you can access all of our available audio, video teachings, plus through the app. Or our website, you can download our PowerPoint slides, bulletin, sermon notes, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. And lastly, if you want to learn more about how you can support Hillsboro United Methodist Church or Transformation United Methodist Church financially, please go to www.hilltran.org for more information and to give. We appreciate anything you can do to help. Hey, thanks for being a member of this extended church family. I'm glad we are in this together as kingdom people, commencing shoulder to shoulder to help people rediscover life and experience the kingdom of God.